been speaking with Don Clendenin, who's had a long and illustrious career, and he's here for the old-timer Met game at Shea Stadium this weekend. Don, I want to thank you for giving us the time to talk to you a little bit.
It's my pleasure.
Don, can you tell us a little bit about your early background, where you were born and how you were raised and how you were first exposed to your baseball?
Well, I was born in Missouri, but moved to Atlanta, Georgia very early in my life, and grew up there, went to high school and college in Atlanta. My baseball influence was my stepfather. My real father died when I was about 3 months old from leukemia. And my mother, he married a guy by the name of Nish Williams, who also taught Roy Campanella to catch with the old Baltimore like Giants. At that time, blacks were not permitted into major league baseball. So guys like Nish Williams, my father, and Satchel Paige, and Sad Sam Jones, and Jackie Robinson, these guys were kind of instrumental in my getting into baseball years ago.
When was the earliest that you played baseball?
Oh, professionally or?
No.
I started off in baseball. I played my senior year in high school and 4 years of college. I went to a college at 15, and I thought I was a late bloomer. I think I started maturing my senior year, and then once I got out of college.
Right.
You know,
what were you pursuing in college?
I was in mathematics and physical education. I originally went there. I was in biology and chemistry and a doctor.
So you never really got into the professional aspects of baseball until after you finished college?
That's true.
Okay.
They wanted to sign me. The Cardinals wanted to sign me out of high school, but I was too young and my mother refused.
What positions were you playing at that point?
First base at that time. I converted over to outfield to become a little bit more multifaceted. And pro ball in the minor leagues, so I could have more of a shot to get to the major leagues.
Okay, so when and how did your professional minor league affiliation begin?
With the Pittsburgh Pirates back in 1957. I went through their minor league organization, had some success, and I worked my way up through the ranks.
Okay, was the color line beginning to open up at this point a little bit?
Yes, it was beginning to. At that time, I think that there were some quotas they had. But it was just breaking open. Mm-hmm. I know that there still was separate but equal facilities in spring training when I went there.
During your first minor league year, what was life like on the field?
Well, my first year, my minor league year, was a lot of anxiety, you know, nervousness, having to compete with people from other good athletes from all over the United States and then offshore, Puerto Rico and Virgin Islands and things. My second and third year, I started to enjoy it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a lot of success in the minor leagues. We had pretty good ball clubs. At that time, very rarely did a person come from college straight into the major leagues. We learned how to play baseball in the minor leagues, and once we got to the major leagues, we knew baseball and how to play it.
Any particular manager or coach particularly influential on you, and in what way?
I really feel that Larry Shepard, Hathaway, and Bob Clear, all my minor league coaches, spent a lot of time with me helping me in my development, and I'm indebted to all of them. I had mostly potential because my athletic abilities, I think, were best in football and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball was by far my worst sport, so I had to work a little bit harder. I had good speed, a good arm, and quick feet for a big guy, and I had a hitch in my swing. They tried to make me a left-handed switch hitter, but I was a line drive hitter on the left side, and I had more power on the right side, so I stayed on the right side after I was dictated to me by management. I struck out a lot, but I had some success.
Mm-hmm. Any particular interesting, humorous event or game that stands out in your mind as you look back now in the minor leagues?
Well, in the minor leagues, I think I hit two grand slams in one inning.
Okay.
And in the major leagues, I think that one of the most exciting things was, a lot of people think, was playing with the Mets and winning the World Championship. Naturally, that was a great thrill for me.
Right.
But I think one of my biggest thrills, or it should be among my biggest thrills, is having been instrumental in causing Don Drysdale and Sandy Koufax to lose a doubleheader. I don't think they lost any. They didn't lose, I think, but one, that was to us, the Pittsburgh Pirates that year.
Okay, we'll get back to that in a minute. Just going back and finishing up with your minor league career, thinking back about your life off the field, the way you lived, et cetera, any comments or
ideas? No. What I did was, once in the minor leagues, I just concentrated on baseball. And I taught school and various jobs during winter months to augment my income.
Right.
Then I started playing winter ball to hasten my my development. And it was nothing spectacular. I just worked and baseball and played baseball.
When I'm sure you remember the moment when you were first informed you were going to the major leagues. When and how did that happen?
Well, I came up to the major leagues off and on. From about 1960-61. I thought that I was going to make the major leagues in 1961, primarily because I had led the Pirates in hitting, and I had a great success. I mean, several years in the minor leagues, 3 or 4 years, with being a most valuable player, leading home runs or whatever.
Right.
But at that time, they were not ready to bring any other people up, so I spent the 61 season at Columbus, and we won the pennant there. And the next year, actually, about 19 or 20 guys on that team went to the major leagues, and I kind of felt I would make the major leagues that year.
Mm-hmm. How many managers did you play for during your career in major leagues?
I mean, it's hard to remember.
Okay.
Danny Murtaugh, Larry Shepard, Harry Walker, let's see, Gil Hodges, played briefly for Montreal Expos, Gene Mark, and then for Red Sandies with the Cardinals.
Okay, let's pick out one or two of them that particularly impress you. And why did they impress you, and what do you think makes a good match?
Well, I have to go with Danny Murtaugh, a guy who gave his ballplayers a lot of respect. He treated them as gentlemen, and he demanded proficiency and dedication. Gil Hodges is my second choice. Gil Hodges helped me out tremendously when I was with another ball club, because he was also a right-handed, one-hand fielding first baseman.
Uh-huh.
So he worked with me when he was with the Washington Senators, and I had the honor of playing for him when I came to New York. Gil, to me, was a tremendously good disciplinarian for young athletes. The veterans, if you lived a clean life, I mean, there was no interference at all. And he was always willing to help you. We had a tremendous coaching staff here. And everybody knew what they were expected to do, and we just performed.
If a guy like Gil were around today, how do you think he would manage with the young players and, you know, the stories you read about today of the prima donnas, et cetera?
Well, I think that salaries have caused a great deal of this. These kids are not hungry. And one of the things that some of these kids may be playing just for the money. I think that we play for the love of the game. I'm sure that some of these present day players play for the love of the game too. The economics have changed, however. I don't think that that would have fazed Gil at all. I think, notwithstanding the high incomes, I feel that Gil would have asserted his method of baseball. He's a disciplinarian.
Right.
As long as you put you put out on the field and you have a clean life off the field. He was to baseball as Vince Lombardi was to football.
Okay. Your very first major league game. Remember how you felt and what happened?
I think my first major league game was in Pittsburgh, and I was just glad to be there. You know, you played so much baseball in organized circumstances and played against various teams in the big camp. I just wanted to go on and establish myself and have some success.
Right.
Yeah, so it was nothing spectacular.
How old were you at the time?
Oh, I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. I haven't been a college graduate. It's been 3 to 4 years in minor leagues.
Right. Yeah.
27, 26.
Okay. Of all of the players that you played with, any two or three stand out in particular?
Well,
personally or professionally?
Well, having played with Willie Stargell and Roberto Clemente, batting between those guys, they were both Hall of Famers and tremendously great athletes. I think it was an honor for me. Anything you did was overshadowed by these guys. So, but I think I had some consistently good years. I don't think I was. I never got to the superstar or the star status. I think I was just a little above average good major league ball player.
How did when you arrived there? They were already a superstar.
No, I was Clemente wise. Okay. I was there before Stargell, and subsequently Stargell came up.
Okay.
How'd
they treat you when you first came up?
Oh, fine. Most teams are close, like a family. Teams get along well with each other.
Okay, you were alluding to one or two special games at that time. Could you elaborate a little bit about one or two games that stood out?
Well, I just think that one game, we beat Drysdale and Colfax. Not a doubleheader, and I think it was the first one they lost or the only one they lost, I'm not sure. But that was a big thrill because they were two dynamic impact pitchers, you know. They were superstars. We've had some good success. I mean, I've had a wonderful professional baseball career. I'm very pleased with it.
Mm-hmm.
I retired. I started law school while I was playing ball. And I went into practice law for several years. So baseball afforded me a lot of opportunities.
I noticed you modestly skipped over the 69 World Series when, as I remember, you were the most valuable player, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
I think that there was 25 most valuable guys that year.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I was brought of over there was to drive in a few runs and try to bring some leadership and a little maturity to the team.
You were a veteran of that team, actually, one of the veterans.
Yeah, I came, 1969 was a pivotal year for me because I did not have spring training. I had retired from baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I came out and took my spring training in Montreal. And as soon as I got my blisters and got my timing, I was traded to New York. And biggest thing I think I did accomplishment I made that year was not having these kids think about waiting to next year, but we could do it that year.
Mm-hmm.
And we just slow walked Chicago down, and the rest is history.
Okay, which in your career, looking back, who were three of the four toughest pitchers for you?
Oh, I can name a lot of them. Marischal, Gibson, Seaver,
mm-hmm.
Kuzman, Maloney. I mean, every team had two real good pitchers, stoppers, and maybe some pretty good pitchers, the third and fourth guys. So we had, and being with the Pirates, and with the Mets, you got the aces on their staff.
Right, yeah. Right. Every career has to come to an end. Would you care to tell us a little bit of how yours came to an end and how you reacted to it?
Well, I'd already retired. I came back into baseball for an additional 3 years. I played an additional 3 years. I ended up with the Cardinals the last year. And then didn't want to procrastinate the inevitable. I had to get out and start seeing what the real world was like.
Mm-hmm.
While playing Major League Baseball, I worked in major corporations to get a lot of exposure and experience, so that the transition would be would not be as devastating.
Now, you had mentioned law before. Had you already gotten your law degree?
No, I didn't have my law degree because Joe Brown at one time, I'd be hitting.
He was the general manager of Pittsburgh,
yeah.
I think, right?
I'd be hitting 300, 301, 297, and when law school started, having to run the law school and back to the stadium, I would wind up hitting 275, 280, 290.
Okay.
So Joe Brown informed me that I had to decide whether I want to be a law student, a lawyer, or a professional baseball player.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, there was no option.
Mm-hmm.
So I dropped out of law school, and I continued law school once I retired.
Right. Mm-hmm. Did you find having a career as a major league player had any effect on your career?
Well, it certainly does. You know, you have a national name, a national exposure.
Right.
However, it gets you in the door, but you have to have some affordable skills or some fairly, you have to be a fairly skilled individual to maintain that.
Mm-hmm. Would you care to mention what you happen to be doing now?
Well, right now I'm practicing law occasionally. I'm a chemical dependency counselor, adult and adolescent counselor, and I'm semi-retired, and I enjoy it.
And this is in South Dakota, right?
Yeah,
believe,
right. I work for Keystone Treatment Center in Canton, South Dakota. We have 34 beds, and we maintain about a 90% occupancy, and I enjoy it. You know, it satisfied my manslaughter, well, my needs. You need to be needed, be of service, be helpful.
That's great. Just from a point of historical perspective, do you remember your first salary in the minor leagues and what your final salary is when you finish?
Oh, first in minor league was $300 a month, and that was about $1,800 a year.
Were you able to make ends meet at that point?
I could. I was not from an impoverished home, and I worked also.
Because you had to work off season to make that
right.
Direct. Yeah.
I moved that up to about $100,000. So
when you left. Okay. One final question, Don. Mm-hmm. If you had to do it all over again, would there be anything that you would do differently?
No, I really think that I had a good career, and I don't think I could have done anything any differently.
Don, I want to thank you for spending some time with us, and I hope you have a good time in New York this weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.